Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Hockey Pod. I'm Judy Cohen, here with
Andrew Battaferrano
and Sarah Kirkpatrick.
And this week, we would like to discuss basically what is going to happen to this team in the next couple weeks, and I guess just look back at what happened this weekend to start.
Yeah, lots to talk about. I don't even know where to start.
Friday was interesting.
That
to say the least.
A rough game.
I mean, it was a really slow start to the game, I think.
Well, first of all, they didn't have Tom McGuire.
Yeah.
No.
They didn't have Robbie Bilargeon.
Brandon Hickey gets hurt midway through the game. And it's just so just very, very shorthanded to start with, and then even more so as the game progresses. But I think underrated. It was just a very slow start to the game. I think it was like 4 minutes before anyone got a shot.
It started at 8:30.
And started at 8:30.
Yeah.
That was the worst part.
And
which I know a lot of BU fans like that, because they actually got a time to
drive up to prime time game.
Not even prime time, but they got a chance to like drive up after work, and they could still make the game up in New Hampshire, but...
We didn't get home till 3.
We didn't get home till 3, which, I mean, part of the job, but also not a fan of the 8:30 starts.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
And the go to overtime.
And the overtime.
Thanks, guys.
For the full overtime.
But no, that was only like 5 more minutes. So it wasn't the end of the world. But just a weird game, kind of sloppy. Obviously, they gave up goals right away.
Up 2-0 and kind of don't play well after that. But hey, Daniel Regan had a fantastic game, maybe we could talk about his performance of the weekend.
Yeah, shout out to Danny. I know like people were freaking out about Daniel Regan isn't performing, and it's like, first of all, yes, he has been.
Yeah, he's like the quietest point per game player, and like he has more than
point per game. Like career point per game, right? Like,
yeah,
147 games, 146 points or whatever it is. It's
And he's at 36 points now for 32, 33 games.
Over point a game this year.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. It's just, it's quiet.
If you're going to talk about a consistent player, that's your model right there. Yeah. That's, it's, he had a really great weekend, you know, just.
Player of the week.
Player of the week, Hockey East. But well deserved, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was coming up. I mean, it tied his career long pointless streak, which was 3 games. Do you know how many guys on this team have gone more than 3 games this season without scoring a point?
Like,
this is like the second time Danny's done that in his 4 years here.
So. Yeah, I think if you're gonna complain about someone, it should not be
Danny O'Regan.
Because he plays probably the most consistent hockey of anyone on the team.
Yeah.
And he's
quiet but consistent.
That's a good way to describe it. Quiet but consistent. He's not flashy, but you know, he gets the job done. He gets the job done.
Yeah.
But they did not get the job done on Friday. You know, that O'Regan scores with about 2.5 minutes left to go in the game.
And about 35 seconds later,
they give it right back. And I thought BU actually played a pretty good overtime. They just couldn't score.
They played a really good overtime, but Tirone was like, I'm just going to save literally everything. There are going to be 10 people in front of me, but I'm still going to glove this down. Thanks, everyone.
Danny had a good weekend. Other Danny.
Tirone?
Oh, I was like, yeah, you just said that.
Double Danny. Danny had a good weekend, too. He kind of had some weird saves. Was kind of like out of position a lot, but still.
He got the first star, I believe, in the Friday game.
Yeah, that
which was well deserved. Well deserved. I mean,
I know,
weird,
but,
like get a hat trick.
Yeah.
BU did outshoot UNH by quite a bit in that first game, and Tirone was a big part in why it ended up as a tie, not a BU win. And I know we got to talk about the whole fish thing. We have to talk about this now. We're going to talk about the game on Friday.
Everybody saw it. Was on Deadspin today, I saw.
It's getting the rounds. Yeah, my friend from back home who doesn't really follow college hockey texted me about it. And
UNH has a tradition of basically, is it after the first goal that's scored, they throw a fish on the ice? So the kid who did it was supposed to do it during the BU game. It took him like at least 2 tries, and he like couldn't get a good handle on the fish. I don't know if you've seen the video.
You should look it up.
Like,
you will be able to find it. It's very easy.
Sitting like under him. And
can you imagine just having like that giant of a fish?
Oh, I would vomit.
Oh yeah, we nearly vomited like when it was on the ice. It looked like a dead possum.
Yeah,
like,
Sarah thought it was a possum.
Yeah, I knew.
I like didn't know. Like I remembered after the fact. I'm like, oh wait, they have the fish.
Well, they try and do the whole Detroit Red Wings octopus type situation.
I just forgot, and it caught me really off guard.
You know, I don't know what kind of fish that is, to be honest with you, because I'm not an expert. No. But that might be a good piece of fish right there that you're wasting. But, yeah, I mean, maybe that threw Bio off its game, you know, seeing that fish on the ice. Especially the freshman.
No one wants to skate in that corner.
The freshman who had never experienced it before. Yeah. Maybe they were just like, what's this all about? Saturday night was a little bit better with the senior night. BU gets off to a pretty quick 3-0 lead through the first two periods. And then things kind of almost get out of hand in the third period, kind of backtrack. And Quinn, after the game, even said that a lot of it he blamed himself on for giving the guys almost a conservative mindset going into the period. And, I mean, it kind of showed. They didn't really do much of anything in the first couple of minutes. And UNH is like, hey, we're going to take advantage of that. And they scored two quick goals and made things kind of dicey.
And also, like, Quinn has talked about it before. Like, they don't know how to get scored on. Like, as soon as they get scored on, they freak out. And I don't know if it's because, like, they're all so young. Like, the D-core is really young. But I feel like they can't mentally calm down after they get scored on. They're like, oh, we can't let it happen again.
It's more about, you know, like not trying to give up a goal rather than trying to score one. You know, way too conservative.
Yeah.
And it almost came back to bite him, but Lecuve made some nice saves down the stretch.
Yeah, Connor had a good weekend, I thought. He really, relatively, I mean.
He did okay.
Considering he had to step in and hasn't, like, really played.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, given the situation, I think he looked uncomfortable, which obviously, since he played in weeks, that's what happened.
Yeah, I think he was getting into kind of a groove when he was playing and he was doing well, and then, you know, you kind of lose that when you're not playing. So, yeah, but I think overall he was okay. He wasn't amazing, but he wasn't
like Sean McGuire being pot final amazing.
Hard to do that.
It's hard to do that.
Hard to replicate the goalie with probably the highest save percentage in school history. But, I think he did all right. He kept them in the game.
Yeah,
he didn't really do anything to blow the game, I don't think.
And the defense looked a lot better on Saturday, too.
Friday they were awful.
A couple of just stupid mistakes on
All the goals Friday. I mean, the game tying goal, the third one, was the rebound that no one cleared in
front. They let him get right into the front of the net.
The second one was on the post past Lecuve's skate.
It was a cross-ice pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then the first one was the one where
he slipped
behind him at the blue line.
Yeah, and then Connor didn't get his pad down, but it's
That's a tough one. But I mean, I think like Sarah and Judy were saying that Saturday was much better. You know, a couple mistakes here and there, but I mean that's every game, so it's hard to play a perfect game. And I think they played pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Can we transition to my favorite topic?
Go right ahead.
Switzer's free.
There you go.
Free Switzer. No, I think we all like Shane.
I've only talked to him a couple times.
Yeah, I'm a little more vocally pro Switzer than the others here. Mm-hmm. But I was really happy for him, really excited for him. In Saturday's game that he got a chance to start. I was honestly a bit surprised. Like, obviously Hickey got injured, but based on previous patterns, I was surprised it wasn't McLeod who got the nod, but I mean, the nod.
Getting the nod.
But no, I'm glad Shane got the chance, and I think, like, he had that one really, really, really bad turnover early, but Scott Young went over and talked to him right away. He went right back out and just had a really good game the rest of the way, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That assist on Danny's
goal. Yeah, it was a little shot fake, and then the pass right to Danny in front of the net. Really pretty much an open goal right there. It was a good pass.
Yeah, but
helped Connor make that stop on that 2-on-1 where he came diving in, almost could have hurt himself on that. And I don't know what BU would have been doing if he was hurt.
Yeah, especially since they benched Brandon Fortunato. A lot of the third period. And Shane didn't play the last couple of minutes either. They were kind of rolling on 4D for the last couple minutes.
Which isn't all that surprising.
But, I mean, I thought Shane was very promising. I thought it was great to see him get a chance. I think he's played a whole lot better in that game than a lot of, I won't say a lot, but a few of the defensemen have been playing regularly this season. So I do think he deserves a shot going forward. I think he played bad this weekend. I think
Wouldn't be surprised to see him at least in one of the games.
Yeah, I do think he deserves to play against Notre Dame.
I think so.
Most definitely, especially like depending on the status of Brandon Hickey.
Didn't Quinn say after the game that he thought Hickey and Sean both might be good to go for this weekend? That was the thing.
Yeah, but even then,
you never know.
I still think if like Brandon Fortunato's benched for like the entire third period, that.
He's done it before where guys have been benched and they've played the next game. It's not unheard of.
But, I mean, we can kind of twist this into kind of the... We wanted to talk about the fourth line and how, like, they aren't playing. So...
Well, Mike Moran's moved up to the third line for the most part.
Because of injuries.
Because Robbie's injured.
But, I mean, I've seen Tommy Kelly get shifts here and there because he has... The fourth line, when they were playing, he was probably playing pretty consistently, at least towards the second half of the season. But Chase Phelps, I just really haven't seen anything of on the ice.
Which makes no sense to me.
He's not a bad player.
He's fine. Like
we talked about it. Like, you can roll with three lines at the end of the game, especially in the third period, because you want to put out your better guys. You want to, especially if it's a close game, you want to score, you want to hold the lead.
Yeah.
But to do it throughout the game, or a lot of games...
It's going to come back to bite you in the butt by the third period.
Which I think it, like...
Your guys have to be really well-conditioned, and NHL teams don't even do that.
It definitely happened in the Beanpot Final, which we talked about, because he legitimately did not put the fourth line out for
Except the second line, stumbling around on the ice.
I think we mentioned that.
We talked about that.
I just remember watching them being like, they are so tired. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's... I understand because they do. It's if you feel like your fourth line's a liability, then like you're not going to want to put them out there. But at the same time, you have to be able to give your top nine or at least your top six rest.
Yeah. If you're gonna do that, if you're not gonna play those guys, then dress an extra defenseman or something.
Yeah, play 7D. If you have that many capable defensemen, if you view it that way, then play 7D or put Brian on the fourth line or put Shane on the fourth line.
Yeah,
like
someone who
if
can
you're not
play
gonna play
defense,
Dylan Lawrence.
Yeah.
If you're going to dress him and not play him, what's
the point?
It's
a waste of a dress.
And, I mean, we've defended Dylan Lawrence before, too. I didn't think he had a great weekend in, like, what, all three shifts he played.
Well,
like,
exactly.
It's hard to stand out.
You can't judge very much if he had a couple good plays and a couple cumulative two-minute plays.
But
if Chase Phelps had more than, like, one shift, I don't really remember them.
I don't remember one.
Yeah, I don't either.
Was there one on Friday?
Maybe there was one on Friday. I didn't notice on
Saturday, to be honest with you. I don't remember Chase's week. I remember Dylan a couple times. I don't remember Chase at all.
I don't remember seeing him.
Not that I was looking specifically for Chase at any point in the game, but I don't.
It's easier to notice someone when they're out there more than once.
Yeah, exactly. Which indicates to me if none of us noticed him the entire weekend, probably was not out.
Which,
there.
Like, I don't understand because he plays on the penalty kill, so clearly there's some defensive aspect to his game that's like
something useful,
measurable. Yeah,
or necessary.
Yeah,
but...
I don't know. It's a line that does get hemmed in its own zone. Like, that's obviously you're not going
to
want to
happens to a lot
put
of
that out
lines.
There a lot, but I don't know.
It just seems kind of odd, especially just like. A couple of shifts here and there just to give everyone a breath of fresh air. It's like, put them against the other team's fourth line, which is what you're normally going to do.
Yeah, like, if you have a 2-0 lead, then, like, give them a couple of shifts. So
it's like,
so the other guys can rest. Yeah.
Let's not run the first line ragged, you know?
Yeah,
It's going to be hard to do, especially, against a team this weekend like Notre Dame, where I think you're going to need your best guys to be fully, capable of playing deep into the third period and possibly in overtime, because we've seen so many overtime games at this point. Wouldn't be surprised to see at least one of them go to overtime this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about it seems like all the time since the second half of the season started, playoff picture becoming kind of more clear now, but it's still up in the air.
Andrew,
I think I saw something today that, like, the only definitively, like, mathematically locked spot
is it Northeastern?
Is Northeastern
six.
That's the only thing.
Everything
that is
else can
official.
Move. Yeah.
So
anything else can change, which I don't like as someone who likes certainty. I'm not pleased with that. I like to be more planned ahead than that.
But also, like, it would just be nice if we knew, like if we were going somewhere.
Yeah,
we could make our travel plans easier.
But I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, this weekend will be pretty big in terms of Lowell has a huge weekend. Mm-hmm. BU has a huge weekend against Notre Dame. Lowell has to play BC, which is not going to be...
Should be an interesting series. I could see it.
Yeah.
A split.
But the fact that Notre Dame got swept by Providence... They got swept, right? Or was it a...
They got swept.
They got swept.
By Providence. And
was it in Providence?
It was in Providence.
Okay, okay.
But that made things a whole lot shakier.
Yeah, we thought Notre Dame was going to finish first. So that kind of...
Put a crimp in that.
Yeah.
But the way we were looking at it was, I believe it was Notre Dame needed one more win in order to be a top three spot, and that would eliminate the possibility of BU having to go back to Notre Dame, because BU would either get home ice or they would finish fifth.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't matter either way. But now we're just kind of like...
We have to see what happens this weekend, though, again, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I think this is just going to be a huge weekend, obviously, in terms of just seeing... Obviously, like, the defense, whether they're, like, what he's going to roll with now, and injuries, too, are going to be huge in terms of
Sean McGuire ready to come back.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, he was a little less certain about it. We don't really know what's going on there. But I just think this team is kind of, I don't say scraping the bottom of the barrel, but, like, it's getting kind of, like...
This is just a really bad time for all this to happen.
Yeah.
Like, teetering on the edge of, like... Does this team have the depth to play against a top team?
Well, physically
able.
It's a little difficult.
They don't.
It's a problem.
Which is interesting.
It just depends who hurt everyone is and how they... I mean, McGuire dressed and, like, he obviously wasn't going to go in, but he took warm-ups and, I don't know, he was moving his hand around and stuff, but...
He is physically capable of moving his hand.
No, I mean, he had his blocker on. He was making blocker saves. He was holding his stick, but...
Those are good signs, you would hope. Mm-hmm.
The fact that he dressed in Saturday's game and didn't in Friday's game, the fact that they did dress him indicates something positive for the team.
And it was senior day, so that was nice, too.
But in terms of...
Yeah, it's just... You know, it's funny, we were talking about it earlier in the year about how people were complaining, oh, is BU, like, getting snake bitten with all these injuries? And I think, no, at that time they weren't.
And they were like, oh, no.
It's just like they had a couple. But now like, I feel like that question should have been asked. Now, yes, they are.
Yeah. What if Adi had been out for?
Stop. Oh, my God.
And everyone was like, oh, my God, Adi's done forever.
And he's back, but never really left other than that one game. But they are getting... Kind of, like Judy said, getting hurt at the wrong time because, you know, you're going into the playoffs, you're going to need your guys to be healthy and rested, and they are not very healthy right now.
And I think kind of along those same lines, like, I think a lot of people would be willing to argue that a guy like Robbie, well, he isn't producing that much anyway, but I think him being gone is...
He's a spot, killer. Though. He's a spot. He pushes Mike up to the third line, and Mike should be playing on the fourth line.
Mike should be playing on the fourth line, and that just throws off the entire
fourth
line, because you have Dylan Lawrence centering. And
then you can't use the fourth line.
And then you can't use the fourth line if you don't have Mike Moran.
Quinn clearly trusts Moran more than he trusts some of the other guys.
You can use it, he just doesn't.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I feel bad calling him this, but Robbie's a good placeholder in that he produces sometimes, but he can play... top 9 minutes, and he keeps some of those maybe not so great guys, gives them some more rest, and like it makes a more balanced team. So I think absolutely Robbie is a big loss for this team in that regard, just in terms of talking about Quinn only rolling three lines and kind of can the team physically
stay up with that. General, anytime you lose a top 9 player and you have to have a fourth liner
center
move up. I mean, it's not a great situation. Mike's done fine.
Yeah, Mike's been great. Right? It's just been the rest of the...
It's just that it screws Bobo up
looks pretty good
everything
too.
Else. Well, Bobo just keeps getting better and better.
He does look better.
Yeah. He's so dominant.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll see Eric Udall this weekend. We have not seen him yet.
Funny story. I like needed to rent a U-Haul this weekend, and I kept typing Udall when I was trying to Google to get a U-Haul. That's not relevant, but that's...
It almost looks like a name.
Fun fact, no, but...
I don't think he's going to play.
No,
I think they'd play differently at forward before they put Udall in.
Probably right.
I agree.
Just would be interesting to see if out of nowhere, hey, here's his first game, he gets to play against Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
We've literally never seen him, so like...
We know...
I don't even know what would happen.
I don't really know what his playing style is like.
Me neither. Yeah, he's a little. That's it.
Yeah, he's not much. He's not very tall, so that's really all. That's all we know about him. We don't know.
Not always an issue, but
no, not at all.
That's Casein Homan.
Yeah,
nice.
I miss Casein.
But it should be an interesting weekend, to say the least. It's just hard.
Like, yeah, we're just kind of like caught off guard. We don't really.
It's just hard when you just. When you have fewer guys going down to an important part of the season.
Uh-huh. It all happened in, like, the span of 2 days. Like, we were like, oh, like, they're going to go play UNH now. Then it's like,
fine. And it's like, nope.
Sean's hurt. Robbie's hurt. Brandon just got mauled.
That was a very painful play. Like, just, it did not look.
The guy didn't get suspended.
No,
Iserman did not get suspended. He did not look pleased when he got called for the major in-game misconduct.
Like yelling at people on the bench.
Yeah.
You injured someone's player, so
yeah, but
surprised they didn't give him a suspension there, to be honest with you, because I've seen
much less
get at aggressive. Least one game,
but I mean,
regardless,
but anyway, BU can finish anywhere between third and fifth in Hockey East by the time that Saturday is over, so
and somebody asked at the press conference the other day, they were like, is home ice really that big a deal? And Quinn was just like, yeah, it kind of is really.
I think it's just
you
big.
You want the bye.
I think it's just really big in the sense that you don't have to travel anywhere.
You don't have to travel anywhere.
You can sleep in your own bed.
Sleep in your own bed.
You get the bye.
Yeah, you get the bye. You get the extra week to kind of rest. Heal.
Yes.
Heal.
They especially need it now.
Like, it's like, if you don't get the bye, you'll probably play UMass, and you'd think that would go pretty well, because UMass is not very good.
But it's still preparing, and it's still playing a game, and they're still physical, and
it's an important weekend to just have off.
Yeah, exactly.
And to rest up for whoever you play.
They can finish into the top four at this point.
They can. Like, it's definitely
top three,
possible.
Top four, it's very possible. So
it'll just be a matter of kind of seeing who steps up, seeing who can.
Yeah.
How
Notre Dame responds to getting.
Yeah, I was gonna say Notre Dame is coming off the tough weekend.
They might come off, I mean,
motivated
or desperate, whatever. I mean, I'm sure not desperate. They're pretty much no, because they could. How far can they slip?
I think they might be able to.
Can they slip to fifth?
I'm pretty sure they can.
If BU sweeps them, can they slip to fifth?
I'm pretty sure they can.
I don't. Yeah. I so don't then know maybe exact yeah. Behind it,
they kind of, they because they put themselves in a tough position now too.
Yeah, they're kind of like
a lot of jostling between BU Lowell and Notre Dame right now. So it's
which is interesting.
And they're all playing tough games. You know, Lowell's got the two against BC, and BC's trying to hold that number one spot because Providence is right behind him. Providence could technically finish first, I believe, if they swept UMass. So you would think they would have a very good chance of doing that.
Possible.
So if BC somehow got swept by Lowell, Providence would actually finish in the top spot. So still a lot of different things can happen, a little bit of variations here and there, and I mean, I guess the top four, it's not exactly, like, you want to finish first to win the league, but at the same time, you still get that bye no matter what. You get the home ice in the second round no matter what. It just depends on who you're going to play in the second round, depending on where you're seated.
Yeah. And, okay. Basically, at this point, is it basically, like, BC or Providence is going to be first, mm-hmm. going to be first and second, and then 3, 4, 5 is BU, Notre Dame, Lowell?
Pretty
not
much.
In that order. Not in that order.
Yeah.
But some variation of that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll just be pretty interesting to see how these games all play out, because all these teams are really fighting for that last spot. So it's not like a team is probably going to, like, rest its players or something. You don't usually see that in hockey, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to take their games lightly this weekend.
No. We will be making the flight.
Thursday.
Flying to Chicago.
O'Hare.
Bussing to South Bend. And we'll be in Indiana all weekend. My first trip to Indiana.
Yeah,
my first,
too.
Ooh,
yeah.
New
O'Hare, O'Hare's a fun airport. They got a lot
huge,
of good food.
Yeah.
Get a nice
post-flight
snack. Yeah. No, it'll be a fun trip, and we're really excited. We'll be there, and we will have all the action for you. Be sure to follow us. Follow our live blog at hockey.dailyfreepress.com, and we will see you guys this weekend. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.